Silo 17. Chapter 47. The Janset grumbled to life. There was a rattle deep in the belly of the great digger, and then a string of lights flickered on in Silo 17's pump room, in the generator room, and down the main hall. There were whoops and applause from exhausted mechanics, and Juliet realized how important these small victories were. Light shone where once there was dark flood. For her, every breath was a small victory. Lucas's death was a weight on her chest, as were the losses of Peter and Marcia and Nelson. Everyone in IT she had come to know and forgive was gone. The cafeteria staff, practically anyone above supply, all those who hadn't made a run for it. Weights on her chest, every one. She took another deep breath, and marveled that breathing was still possible. Courtney had taken charge of the mechanics, stepping into the vacuum Shirley had left. She and her team were the ones stringing lights and wires and getting the pumps rigged and automated. Juliet moved about, like a ghost. Only a handful seemed to see her. Just her father and a few of her closest friends, loyal to a fault. She found Walker in the back of the digger, where the tight confines and reliable power made him feel closer to home. He looked over her radio and pronounced it both operational and out of juice.
"I could rig up a charger in a few hours," he told her, apologetically.
Juliet surveyed the conveyor belt, which had been swept free of dirt and rubble, and now served as a workbench for both Walker and the dig team. Walker had several projects underway for Courtney, pumps to re-spool that looked like disassembled mining detonators. Juliet thanked him, but told him she was heading up soon. There were charges in the deputy stations as well as in IT on 34. Further down the conveyor belt, she noticed members of the dig team poring over a schematic. Juliet gathered the radio and her flashlight from Walker Station, patted him on the back, and joined them. Eric, the old mine foreman, had a pair of dividers, and was marking out distances on the schematic. Juliet squeezed in to get a closer look. It was the silo layout she'd brought from IT all those weeks ago. It showed a grid of circles. A few of them crossed out. There were markings between two silos to show the route the digger had taken. The schematic had been used by the mining team to chart their way, buttressed by Juliet's best guess on which direction she had walked and how far.
"We could make it to number 16 in 2 weeks," Eric calculated.
Bobby grunted.
"Come on. It took longer than that to get here."
"I'm relying on your extra incentive to get out of this place," Eric said.
Someone laughed.
"What if it ain't safe over there?"
Fitz asked. "It probably isn't," Juliet said. Grime-covered faces turned to acknowledge her.
"You got friends in all of these?"
Fitz asked.
He practically sneered at her.
Juliet could feel the tension among the group. Most of them had gotten their families through, their loved ones and kids and brothers and sisters, but not all. Juliet squeezed between Bobby and Hyla and tapped one of the circles on the map.
"I've got friends right here," she said.
Shadows swayed drunkenly across the map as the bulb overhead swung on its cord. Eric read the label on the circle Juliet had indicated.
"Silo 1, he said.
He traced the three rows of silos between his location and where they currently stood.
"That would take a lot longer."
"It's okay," she said. "I'm going alone." Eyes went from the map to her. The only sound was the rumbling of the genset at the other end of the digger.
"I'll be going overland. And I know you need all the blast charges you can lay hands on, but I saw you had a few cases left over from the dig. I'd love to take enough to pop a hole in the top of this silo."
"What are you talking about?" Bobby asked.
Juliet leaned over the map and traced a path with her finger.
"I'm going overland in a modified suit. I'm going to strap as many sticks of blast charge as I can to the door of this silo, and then I'm going to open that motherfucker like a soup can."
Fitz smiled a toothless smile.
"What kind of friends you say you got over there?"
"The dead kind," Juliet said. "The people who did this to us live right there. They're the ones who make the world outside unlivable. I think it's time they live in it.
No one spoke for a beat, until Bobby asked, How thick are the airlock doors? I mean, you've seen them.
3, 4 inches?
Eric scratched his beard.
Juliet realized half the men around the table were doing some kind of figuring. Not a one of them was going to talk her out of this.
It would take 20 to 30 sticks, someone said.
Juliet searched out the voice and saw a man she didn't recognize.
Someone from the mids who had made it down, maybe.
But he was wearing a mechanic's coveralls.
You all had 1-inch plate welded up at the base of the stairwell. We used 8 sticks to punch through it. I say plan on 3 to 4 times that.
You're a transfer? Juliet asked.
Yes, ma'am, he nodded.
And looking past the grime to his cropped hair and bright smile, Juliet thought she could see the up-topper in there. One of the men sent from IT to bolster the shifts in mechanical. Someone who had blown open the barrier her friends had erected during the uprising. He knew what he was talking about. Juliet looked to the others.
Before I go, I'll reach out to a few of these silos, see if any will harbor you.
But I've got to warn you, the heads of these joints all work for these people. They'd as likely kill you when you come crashing through their walls as feed you. I don't know what's salvageable here, but you might be better off staying put.
Imagine what we would have thought if a few hundred strangers cut their way inside our home and asked to be put up.
We would have let them, Bobby said.
Fitz sneered. Easy for you to say. You've got your 2 kids. What about those of us in the lottery?
This got several people talking all at once. Eric slapped the conveyor belt with his hand to silence them.
That's enough, he said.
He glared at those gathered.
She's right. We need to know where we're headed first. In the meantime, we can start staging. We're going to want all the supports in the mines of this place, which means a lot of water to pump out and exploring to do. How exactly are we going to aim this thing? Bobby asked. She was a bitch to steer here. These things aren't fond of turning.
Eric nodded.
Already thought of that. We'll dig around it and give her room enough to spin in place. Court says it's possible to run a set of tracks at a time. A little forward on one side, a little back on the other. She'll creep around, as long as there's no earth in the way.
Raph appeared at Juliet's side. He had been hanging back during the discussion.
I'm coming with you, he said.
Juliet realized it wasn't a question. She nodded.
When Eric was done explaining what they needed to do next, workers began to scatter.
Juliet caught Eric's attention and showed him her radio.
I'm going to go see Courtney and my dad before I leave, and I've got some friends that headed off to the farms.
I'll have someone bring you down a radio as soon as I find another, and a charger. If I make contact with a silo that'll have you, I'll let you know.
Eric nodded. He started to say something, scanned the faces of those still milling about, then waved her to the side. Juliet handed her radio to Raph and followed. A few paces away, Eric glanced around and waved her further along, and then further, until they were at the far end of the tailings facility, where the very last bulb swayed and flickered.
I've heard what some of them are saying, Eric said. I just want you to know it's ratchet, okay?
Juliet scrunched up her face in confusion. Eric took a deep breath, eyed his workers in the distance.
My wife was working in the 120s when this went down. Everyone around her was running up, and as much as she felt the urge to join them, she headed straight down, here, to our kids. Was the only one on her level to make it. She fought a hell of a crowd to get here. People were acting crazy.
Juliet squeezed his arm.
I'm glad she made it.
She watched the dangling lights shine in Eric's eyes.
God damn it, Jules. Listen to what I'm telling you. This morning, I woke up on a rusted sheet of plate steel. A crick in my neck I may live with for the rest of my life. 2 damn kids sleeping on me like a mattress, and my ass dead numb from the cold.
Juliet laughed.
But Leslie is laying there watching me, like she's been watching me a long while. And my wife looks around us at this rusted hellhole, and she says, thank God we had this place to come to.
Juliet turned away and wiped at her eyes. Eric grabbed her arm and made her face him. He wasn't going to let her retreat like that. She hated this dig. Hated it. Hated me taking on a second shift. Hated it because of my bitching and moaning over the struts you made me pull. What we did to number six. Hated it because I hated it. You understand?
Juliet nodded.
Now, I know the fix we're in as well as most. I don't reckon we'll get anywhere with this next dig, but it'll give us something to do until our time comes. Until then, I'm gonna wake up sore next to the woman I love. And if I'm lucky, I'll do the same thing the next morning. And every one of those is a gift. This ain't hell. This is what comes before. And you gave us that.
Juliet wiped the tears from her cheeks. Some part of her hated herself for crying in front of him. Another part wanted to throw her arms around his neck and sob.
She missed Lucas more powerfully in that moment than she thought herself capable.
I don't know about this fool's errand you're setting off on, but you take whatever of mine you need. If that means more digging with my bare hands, so be it. You get those fuckers.
I want to see them in hell by the time I get there.